Vilspadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
Ten on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. Lot to get to today. First of all, what the hell? Winter, stop. It's April. I mean, Eric, it was 28 in my car this morning. Yeah. I had a little frost on my windshield. Yeah, and part of it, I went to Major Car Wash yesterday. Yeah. The guys at Major are on 206 in Princeton, right? As you come out, you're coming north toward Montgomery. What a great place. Like, they're quick, efficient, cost-effective. I am a believer in washing your car often.
Oh, me too.
So
I like to do it myself, too. I like a good car wash, but I love doing it myself.
My car would never be washed if it was up to me to do it. I get the spray, you know, because and even if you know you're going to have to do it a couple of times, you want to keep it, especially after the winter, especially after this winter, all the crap and the mud. But anyway, freezing this morning, and I'm listening to the news, and I'm like, am I having a stroke? Because I am not following. So let me understand. Talk national affairs for just a moment. Indulge me, please. You got the White House Press Secretary, Karoline Leavitt, who comes out and says it is absolutely false, not true, that Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz as a reaction to the Israelis bombing Lebanon. Okay. Then she said, we are demanding that the Iranians open the Strait of Hormuz. And then she said, there's been an increase in traffic coming through the Strait recently. So, hold on a minute. Is it closed? Is it open? Like, I have to tell you, I feel sorry for people that own stocks right now, because I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the futures are doing right now. I have not looked. Yesterday was a bit of a banner day because the deadline passed with a ceasefire. But are we in a ceasefire, but not in a ceasefire? Are we going to obliterate them again, even though we've already obliterated them? Like, what the hell is going on? This is the most schizophrenic messaging that I have ever seen come out of a White House.
Well, my favorite was, and I don't know who the reporter was that asked the question, but as Leavitt was wrapping up that briefing, one of the reporters said, hey, we're getting reports that there are bombings happening across Iran. Who's doing it?
What did she say?
And she said, well, obviously I'm out here with you, so I haven't heard that. I'll have to go back and check.
I thought she was going to say, I'm out here with you, so I'm not doing it. It's not me.
And it's the thing that's interesting to me, and I haven't heard a good explanation about it, is Iran is threatening to basically sink ships that try to go through the strait without paying this.
What is it, like $2 million
toll
a ship or something?
It's ridiculous. Which, you know, violates the tenets of maritime tradition, because it's considered to be open water navigation.
It's international waters, right? Nobody's supposed to own it. That's the deal.
And now, you know, Iran is saying that they have mined the strait. And you had Leavitt saying yesterday that the U.S. had cleared out like 30,000 mines.
Right.
And so I don't know. I mean, there was an increase in traffic, but it's unclear if the ships that had passed through over the last 24 hours actually had cargo. Because at one point, Iran did say that they would allow ships that were not carrying cargo to come through.
Presumably what? To go fill up?
I guess.
To escape so they're not a part of the coming exchange of weaponry?
Well, yeah. Is it open? Is it not open? I don't know that anybody really knows that. I think that there are a lot of companies and ship captains who don't trust it and are not willing to take the risk of going through it.
Yeah.
Unless they're escorted by, you know, the United States Navy or whatever. And is there truly a ceasefire? I mean, that was her explanation yesterday, is that we destroyed their command and control, so it takes a while for the word to trickle down to other troops. So if Iran is still firing drones or missiles, it's because whoever's firing them didn't get word there's a ceasefire yet.
Because they don't have cell phones? Is that why? I mean, come on. What are they, sending carrier pigeons? I mean, good grief. I'll be honest. I just don't buy it. I think they're dancing and scrambling, and I don't know why. I don't understand how you can go from, we've decapitated them, obliterated them, decimated them. They have no Navy, no Air Force, no Army left. Yet we want the regime who we took out, and they're all dead, to negotiate a peace so they stop shooting at us. Well, which is it? I just think this is, we've entered into something very bizarre. And I don't know. What are the futures saying this morning? Is it looking like a rough day?
But not substantially. When I just checked them, it looked like most of the markets were down about a quarter of a percent, yeah, after being up more than 2.5% yesterday across the board. But oil prices have been spiking again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's because most don't believe the strait is peacefully open.
Right.
And, you know, I think that what was not anticipated by the Trump administration, or really anybody in Europe, and possibly not even the Iranians, is to realize the power that they have by controlling the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
So their weapon against the world is closing the strait and having a devastating impact on the U.S. and global economy. And I'm not sure the Iranians even realized until this war the power they possessed along with Oman with the strait.
Yeah, this is amazing. So question for you, where do you stand on this? Because it is impacting you. You're paying the price at the pump right now because of this war. And, you know, the markets are clearly being manipulated. We're not getting a straight answer out of anybody. And I know Trump supporters are going to be mad that I'm questioning the inconsistency and the erratic nature of their messaging. But honestly, as a Republican, this is why we can't have nice things. This is one of the reasons why we're going to get absolutely shellacked in the November midterms if they don't do something about this. What is your thought about how it's impacting you? Or are you still disconnected and really just don't care about what's happening in the Middle East? 1-800-283-101.5, 617, fast traffic instant weather next.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5. Brought to you by Estates Roadshow at TMT Cash for Gold.
Hi. It is 6:24 on Ianthos Radio. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. So, I was just talking about, and I'll wrap this up, and I don't want to mean to bore you with national stuff, but, you know, I'm listening to the news this morning. I think Levon Putney does a great job for us at First News. You know, talented, great voice, don't you think? Does a really good job. He's thorough, and you can hear a personality coming out with the way he does the news. So anyway, just want to shout out to Levon. I think he does a great job. Rick Rickman as well with First News. Another one does a fantastic job. Two super talented guys, and we're lucky to have them. That said, I'm listening to Caroline Leavitt. Now, I talked to her before she got to the White House. We helped her in her congressional run. She was running in New Hampshire. And, you know, I talked to her a few times and offered our support from here, and because I thought, you know, here's this young woman, real rising star in the party, and would have made a great member of Congress. She gets picked up by the Trump administration, and I'll be honest, I think she's kind of worn out the welcome a little bit. I think it's time for her to move on. And, you know, you can't blame the messenger for the poor messaging, but the bottom line is this: right now, 80% of Democrats have a negative view of Israel. 60% of Republicans. So Israel has a PR problem in America. And I will tell you, I don't know that President Trump is mindful of this, But if you think about how this played out, first he does the Easter Bunny press conference. He does the speech from the balcony of the White House with the Easter Bunny looking on and nodding about how we're going to blow Iran up. Sets a deadline for 8 o'clock, then claims we have a ceasefire. So all the credit, you know, pat on the back, look at me. Another war stopped. Well, yes, but you started it. Okay, so then you say, whether you support the war or not, well, the Israelis didn't follow along with that. They start bombing Lebanon. Okay, that's fine. But who's in charge? And then you hear Levitt say that it's open, but it's not open. Ships are going through, but there are mines. We demand that they stop, but we've already won. Guys, this is too serious to have this kind of game playing happening at the national level. Everyone, Republicans and Democrats, should be calling on the White House for a consistent message and policy. And I'll tell you something, the president played right into the Democrats' hands. Now they're calling for a limit on his war powers, and I think there are going to be a lot of Republicans that support it. So my question to you is, on the extended point, how are you feeling about our alliance with Israel? And are you in the 60% of Republicans or the 80% of Democrats who are no longer positive about our alliance with Israel? Or are you on the other side? 1-800-283-101.5. 627, Eric Scott with your news next. <music> 637 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, it's interesting. I was just talking to you. I think I said it off the air, but then again, I'm never sure. I'm always talking. So sometimes it's on air, sometimes it's off air. But 80% of Democrats in a poll said they have a negative view of Israel. And 60% of Republicans. That's an enormous number. And what's really fascinating is if you look at Congress, most of these members of Congress, or I should say many of them, are funded by PACs like AIPAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee. And I wonder how this is going to jive with the, you know, members of Congress being fueled campaign-wise by pro-Israeli special interests and the American people saying, you know what, we're kind of done. I mean, have we turned a corner where people are now blaming Israel as an aggressor in this war?
Well, I think on the Democratic side, you have to look at some of that of being Donald Trump blowback. Democrats don't like Donald Trump.
Take it out on Israel.
Right. Some of it is. So I'm not as concerned about that number. The Republican number, though, is really eye-opening when you look at that 60%.
It's
because, you know, especially, you know, there's MAGA polling going on in there as well. And, you know, I don't know. It's a really interesting dynamic, but I think part of it is the Trump administration has really botched the PR message or the messaging around this war, the justification for it. The fact that, you know, as you pointed out with Carolyn Leavitt in that White House briefing, how many times did she contradict herself in the same sentence?
Same sentence, Eric. I've never heard anything like it. You could almost hear it in Levon's reporting. Like, I literally pulled in, turned my car off, and I'm like, I actually now have to ask Eric whether he thinks the Strait of Hormuz is open or closed, because I have no idea from what the White House press secretary said yesterday.
Well, and it's not just the press secretary. It's the president himself. You know, there's not been a lot of clarity. You know, in the past, even with Donald Trump, when there has been military action, there has been a very clear and defined justification, an articulated plan, and an end result. And we have not seen that in this conflict. And I think a lot of people believe, I don't know if it's true or not, but the public perception largely is that Israel goaded Trump into taking this action.
Well, it's interesting. Oh, by the way, I want to clarify. I dug a little deeper into the poll. It was 60% of Republicans 18 to 49.
Okay.
After 50, it drops to 24%. So the boomers in the Republican Party, the older guys in my generation, still favor Israel by 75%. But 60% of the Republicans under 50 are opposed, and 80% of Democrats. Here's the other interesting thing. 41% of Republican-leaning independents are now seeing Israel in a negative light. So these are enormous numbers. And I don't know how now, how do you go in, put your political hat on for a minute if you don't mind, how do you go in, you're a member of Congress, you're a Republican member of Congress in New Jersey, and you're running for re-election, there are only three of them left. How do you navigate that landscape?
Well, I don't know that you... Yeah, it's you're seeing it not just in New Jersey, where you have a couple of very close races, but you're seeing it around the country as mm-hmm. well. And that is going to be one of the things that I think will contribute to a just massive loss of Republican congressional seats statewide. I would say maybe that's a bet for us to consider. When the midterms are over, mm-hmm. how many Republicans will remain in Congress in New Jersey? And I don't know if you put the over-under at 2, and I might take the under.
I don't know if I want to take that bet. You know, it's hard because, I mean, I'm friends with Jeff Van Drew. I think the guy's great. I think he's, and I love his story. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, the Democratic Party left him. He has kind of a Reagan-like story with his political journey. I think he is an able representative in South Jersey, but he, you know, he's close with Trump. And I think I have to tell you, Eric, I put the blame and the burden on President Trump. He is torpedoing his own party. And it's sometimes when I say it, people immediately accuse me, oh, sour grapes, you're mad he didn't endorse you. For context and clarity, we didn't ask for him to endorse us. We actually had asked the president to stay out of the race. So that's, I think that's an important point. And it's just an objective analysis on my part to say when the guy's polling in the 30s in New Jersey, and nobody can explain why they still support him when it comes to independence, you've got a problem. Like, if you could sit there and say, and I could say, look, I actually defended Pam Bondi the other day. Mm. Said, you know, this woman took on the cartels. She, you know, the murder rate's as low as it's been since, what, 1900? I mean, this person did a good job. There are so many boxes to check with President Trump. Look, he closed the southern border. I mean, he did what he said he was going to do. I think the MAHA movement is one of the best things to come along in 30 years. I mean, I've been on this for the last 20 on healthy eating. And now the government's catching up. I love it. But this war, it's, and I think to your point, you know, look, we're in the business of communicating. I almost want to sit them all down and say, guys, could we just do a basic 101 class on how to communicate a consistent message without making your supporters insane? I mean, right? Like, I could not get a consistent message out of it. And I had said this to our friend Judy Franco a couple of months ago. And, you know, she had questioned me about some of the tweets that I made because I was already questioning Israel a year after October 7th. I'm like, this has gone on too long. And my reasoning was, if you don't get ahead of the messaging, all the good you've done will be wiped out because people have a very short memory. And if I'm mad at you today, you can't remind me of what you did good 5 years ago because I don't care. I'm mad at you today.
Right.
Yeah. That's how politics works.
Well, I mean,
and they don't seem to know that.
The thing that strikes me, you know, when you watch Carolyn Leavitt, and I spent some time at the White House. I've been in that briefing room. I've covered that type of thing and gotten to know some people that have been in that role over the years. That was less a reflection of Carolyn Leavitt and more a reflection on the information that she was being given.
Yeah.
So, I think she is capable spokesperson, but I think that she's going in without the information and the preparation needed to be able to provide a clear message and coherent answers to the press corps. I don't think that's her. You know, my experience tells me that that is a lack of support outside of the briefing room. Yeah. That she's not getting the information that she needs to be able to communicate a message effectively.
I think that is a brilliant point. You are spot on. You know, don't kill the messenger. But if I'm advising, look, if this is my friend, my daughter, my advice would be get out while you can. This thing is absolutely a train wreck, and, you know, messaging wise. And again, I know my Trump supporter friends are going to be mad, but guys, you know, we have to start preparing for the post Trump Republican Party. And what's happening right now is a bad, bad thing. And look, if Trump set this up to go this way so they could blame Israel, maybe. But that's not a good idea. You don't treat your allies like that. The fact that Netanyahu went after Lebanon after the ceasefire, now it just looks like Israel is on their own. They'll take billions of our dollars and they won't follow along with our game plan. Nobody's going to accept that. That number is going to start to rise among young Republicans. And let me tell you something, 40-year-olds and 30-year-olds vote. So the idea that 6 out of 10 are opposed to Israel now, that is a very, very dangerous and bad sign. All right, Ryan, Scott, Clancy, John, I'll be right back. You're all coming up after the traffic and weather next.
Listen live anywhere in New Jersey. Stream New Jersey 101.5 at NewJersey1015.com or on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Jersey's news, talk, and weather. Always with you. Powered by Hackensack Meridian Health.
And five. All right, let's jump right in. We're at war. We've lost military personnel. And we've got a majority of people now in the country saying Israel is in part to blame, and they're turning on them. And that includes 60% of young Republicans. That means 49 years and younger. Dangerous sign. Let's start with Scott in Jackson. What's going on, Scott? What do you think?
Good morning. How you doing, Bill?
Good, man. Tell me, what do you got?
I voted for you.
Thank you.
I voted for you in the gubernatorial race.
Appreciate that.
Unfortunately, you didn't win. Sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
But I listen to your show every morning. And I often agree with you, but sometimes I don't.
It's all right. But what about America, now? What about this Israel thing?
I am... I really believe that Israel is the root of the problem here. And if you look at Israel's history, that they are attacking all their neighbors and every one of the countries around them. There's always a problem with Israel, and often they're the ones that are starting the trouble. And
then why not blame? I mean, look, this thing started really goes back to October 7th and Hamas killing, you know, beheading babies and killing women. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible attack. And, you know, the terrorists have never stopped. And the other Muslim countries, they don't let these Gazan refugees in. I mean, I would say Islam is more to blame than anyone. I just think that at this point, we have an enormous problem because, you know, it seems that either it was set up on purpose that Netanyahu was not going to follow along with Trump's lead, or Trump wanted it that way. Like, that's the problem with this lack of communication. I have said from go, Scott, and I agree with this part of it, that the fact that Netanyahu has not been scrutinized for the money, the fact that we spend billions and billions of dollars, and this thing in Gaza should have been over right quick, 3 months, in and out, done, level the place, bring it back, restore order. If it's true that most of the Gazans are not Hamas sympathizers, then we would have been liberators. But it's turning out to be that many, if not most, are actually Hamas supporters. And Hamas and Hezbollah, I mean, these are enemies of free people, and they need to be wiped out. The problem is, I don't see the end. We have been in endless wars since the 90s, and it is, I don't know, I mean, at least since 9/11, you can't put a pin in all of this foreign aid and the loss of our troops. And I am very concerned that we've entangled ourselves into something else, whether it is reminiscent of the 1950s and the Suez Canal, or this is all about the endless war, losing thousands of Americans in Iraq. And are we repeating ourselves? I don't know. But either way, when Ronald Reagan had bad poll numbers, he did something about it. Donald Trump seems to get more agitated and more angry and blame the people who are not supporting him instead of figuring out why they're mad at him. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you. Clancy, Ryan, I'll be right back after the news is next.
Yo, what's up, New Jersey?
Looking for something that's so Jersey? Tune in to Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Weeknights at 6 on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and supported by Parks Casino and Earth Treasures Jewelers. Eric has fun diving into what makes Jersey tick. From the lighthearted quirks we love to the important issues that matter most. Join the conversation at 6 p.m. and watch anytime on YouTube. Jersey Thing with Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5. Because nobody does Jersey like Jersey.
Jersey. 7:08 on New Jersey 101.5 in the morning. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Vet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. All right, let's jump right back into it. We're talking about the war. We're talking about the absolutely collapsing support of Israel among American voters. Pretty shocking turn of events, actually. Let's start with Ryan, the Uber driver. Good morning, Ryan. How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, my friend. How are you, Bill?
I'm good. What do you got for us?
Good. I want to get everything in because this is such a touchy subject with me. Israel is the root of many of the world's problems. Mm-hmm. And it goes back in history. The atrocities committed against these people have been done for reasons. Back before the war, they were involved in a lot of pedophilia.
Ryan, this is the problem. When you say they, you know, and you, this is the problem that we have in America. You know, the people, right away, people want to say they. And you people, and I think this is part of the problem, that this is not a systemic thing that has to do with Jewish people. That, you know, when I talk about Israel, I talk about Netanyahu. I talk about the government. This is not, I mean, how many, and that's why we can't have nice things, because the minute we talk about it, it's like these people, like they brought on their own demise. Is it true that if you go back in history, there are plenty of pedophiles? Why, I want to know why people are not calling out the Islamic culture for what they've done in some of these Arab and Muslim countries, enslaving people, raping children. I mean, this goes all the way back to Muhammad. And the problem is that Israel is too often goes the other way, that if you criticize the Israeli government, then you are anti-Semitic. No, there is a middle. I am critical of Netanyahu and the Israeli government, and I love the Jewish people. There's a big, big difference. Now, I don't subscribe to this idea that somehow Israel is the biblical chosen location for that people talk about. It's a nation, and there are allies, and I support them. However, I do think it is absolutely time to scrutinize and put discipline in when it comes to how they're spending our money. I'm a believer in cutting off most of these countries from our foreign aid, pulling it back here. The tail can't wag the dog. Netanyahu's out of control, if you ask me. He should have ended this problem in Gaza almost immediately. They drag it on because it's a grift. It's a money grab on the back of the taxpayers. And if you criticize it, they call you anti-Semitic. The problem, Ryan, is the minute you lump it in historically and say those people, it lends credibility to those folks that are out there saying that you're anti-Semitic for criticizing Israel. Anyway, I got to jump, Ryan. Thank you. Best to Sean. 7-Eleven, Clancy, you'll be next on the other side of traffic and weather.
For the best of New Jersey, live hosts and timely traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Tune into New Jersey 101.5.
All right, let's jump right back into it. So we're at war, and what's happening is two things are happening right now. One, Republicans are tanking in polling ahead of the midterm elections. Many Republicans trying to scramble to figure out how they hold on to their seats. And we've got 60% of Republicans under the age of 50 no longer supporting Israel. That's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. And the disconnect is that older Republicans still support Israel by a margin of 75 to 25. But this is a dangerous trend. This has been our longstanding ally. We know we're up against these Muslim jihadists. We know that culturally we are American Western culture is incompatible with Islam. We know that. But we have all these enemies, yet the blame is being put on Israel. And I'm angry about it. I'm going to tell you why. Because I have been saying for the better part of the last year, Israel, Netanyahu, and Trump better wake up, because they are basically slapping Americans in the face saying, don't question our policy in the Middle East. Don't question our billions of dollars going to Netanyahu. And if you do question it, you're anti-Semitic. And then the anti-Semitism gets fueled because people right away get angry and they're like, ah, the Jews. You've heard it. You've heard callers say something similar. So we have to recognize that, stop putting Israel up like they're this chosen nation. They were founded in 1948. The old Kingdom of Israel went by the wayside in 500 and something BC. So let's recognize that we're dealing with a modern ally that has many enemies that want to see Jews eradicated. That's a problem. That is not compatible with our Western values. So I support Israel. However, this Gaza thing has been a nightmare. And Netanyahu took the last 2 years. What have they been doing? I think they are benefiting from endless war. We certainly have. Look at Lindsey Graham. Look at John McCain. These guys had no issue sending your sons and daughters into harm's way. We lost, what, 3,000 military personnel over the course of the time in Iraq. Now we've got more than a dozen dead from this engagement with Iran. We've got oil prices that are spiking near $5 a gallon. What the hell's going on? And we have an erratic message coming out of the White House, which I didn't even understand this morning, honestly. And I'm not blaming Caroline Leavitt. I'm blaming the president. He needs to get his communication act together. Are the straits open? Are they not open? Have we decimated the Iranian regime? Have we not? Are they a threat? Are they still in power? What the hell are we doing? And don't give me this line of crap that somehow America is there to liberate people and give them the right to vote. Because that was the line of nonsense they sold us in Afghanistan. Oh, look at all these women voting for the first time with their purple fingers. Yeah. Well, guess what? The Taliban is still in charge, and we've lost thousands of our own. So I'm not into nation building. Let them go sort it themselves. I am into protecting America, and I want to know why for 30 years we've been talking about Iran having a nuclear weapon 2 weeks from now. Yet now we're talking about ground troops, but to find uranium that now we're not worried about, or are we worried about it? I don't know, because you can't get a straight answer out of the White House. So you want to know, Republicans, why your polling is horrible? Why Israel is now unpopular among most American voters? It's because of this horrible communication and this dismissive arrogance that you're not allowed to question our foreign policy, or they'll label you a bigot or an anti-Semite. That's the problem. And here we are. All right, Andrea Clancy, hang in there. I'll be right back. 728, Eric Scott with your news next. 7:39 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Let's jump right in and get to Clancy in Warren County. The war continues. The popularity and empathy from American voters toward Israel is waning. Now, not only 80% of Democrats, but 60% of Republicans under the age of 50. To be fair, 57%. That's the exact number. That was a recent poll. That's really bad for our policymakers, who have, in many cases, rely on a lot of money from AIPAC and the American-Israeli PAC. And just so you're clear on how AIPAC does their funding, they do not seek out pro-Israel members, believe it or not. They look to exercise influence over certain votes on people. And they only get behind people that they know are already going to win. So just keep that in mind when you think about AIPAC. This is an influence in Washington that is not positive. And now, I've been warning this for about a year, that this was going to turn. And these polls show that I was right a year ago to warn that Israel was going to fall out of favor because of the arrogance. Let's go to Clancy. What do you think, Clancy?
Good morning, everybody. And Bill, thanks to you and your team for bringing us the truth all the time. I listen to you every day. I just need clarification on something. I'm probably thinking crazy, but okay. If Washington keeps telling us that we don't need the oil that's coming through the straits, we have enough here, why do our prices keep going up?
Isn't that a great question? It's a great question. I've asked the same question about why, after we were able to take on all of the oil from Venezuela, right? I mean, you're talking about billions of barrels of oil. Why President Trump, who is telling the allies overseas, don't worry about the strait, you can buy from us. I mean, you're looking at this CARG terminal, which accounts for about 4% of global oil production. That means 96% is not coming through there. I get it. It's an interesting question, and I don't have a good answer for you except to say that wealth has been consolidated to a small number of companies. And if they're taking a hit in one area, they're going to make up for that loss in another area. That's the problem. So it's not like you're buying directly, like, oh, the price of oil coming out of the Middle East, well, I'll just buy my oil from the company in Texas. They're all global now. And when they're hurting, you're going to feel the pinch. They're going to pass the pinch on to the consumer first. And that's, you know, Clancy, you bring up a really great point, because that's part of the disconnect where Republicans are failing to appeal to voters, especially young voters. You know, a lot of my Republican friends were so shocked. They get mad at me first because I criticize the Republicans the most. And I do that because I am a Republican and I want to help fix them. And, you know, they don't want to take the bitter medicine. They're scared of the medicine and they'd rather just stay sick. And the problem is that the sickness is going to kill the party. And it's almost at a point now where there's no recovery. In some places, Mom Donnie got elected in New York. And I said, guys, the reason that your kids are voting for this jihadist communist is because you all want to talk about international affairs and supporting Israel and going to war and the alleged nuclear weapons from Iran that we've been told for 30 years that they're about to make a weapon every 2 weeks and it's never materialized. And Mom Dami is saying, hey, you can't afford an apartment. I'm going to give it to you for free. Now, I'm not saying Republicans need to compete by saying we're going to give it to you for free. No. But where has the Republican Party been? Let's talk about New Jersey. Affordable housing. Affordable housing is only affordable to the people you're giving it away to. It's not affordable to the young mom who's 30 years old and trying to get a bigger house because she's got three kids now instead of one. It's not affordable to the guy driving the New Jersey Transit bus who can barely afford meals and take his wife out once in a while on the weekends. It's not affordable to our children who we talk about coming back into New Jersey after they left and they say, well, I got a better deal. I mean, look at my family in particular. It's cheaper in London and in California than what they get here. So that's the real answer, Clancy, and I appreciate you bringing it up. I said this to somebody the other day, and I've been saying this, you've heard me say this on the air, that it was less expensive for Jody and I to send Elizabeth to school in London. Now, she wanted to go there, but it was actually less expensive than Rutgers in-state tuition. And you know who's never addressed that? The Republican opposition. You know why? They're afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to criticize Israel and Netanyahu, even though I know some Yahoos out there are going to call me anti-Semitic. I know. I don't care what you call me. I know what the truth is. I'm not afraid for you to say you must hate New Jersey and hate Rutgers because you call them out on the $1 billion that, in my opinion, they're stealing from the taxpayers. Not afraid. I was not afraid to criticize President Trump over warp speed when he deserved the criticism, knowing full well that was going to come back and be in opponents' campaign ads. Not afraid. Did it hurt politically? Yes, but that doesn't matter. I only submitted myself to the voters to say, I've got a solution for you. And if you're ready for it, then I'm the right guy. If you're not ready for it, well, go pick the same people you've been picking for decades. And guess what? Now you ended up with Mikey Sherrill, who, by the way, another warning to Republicans, let me spell it out for you, bone brains, as you're going after the stupid things that nobody cares about. She's out there in front of a nuclear plant stealing your issue. Mikey Sherrill is in front of a nuclear plant stealing your issue. And you're not going to be able to do anything about it. This is why we don't have nice things and we don't have a true opposition, because we have a feckless, weak, spineless Republican Party, from Bucco to DeMeo to half these county chairs out there. Nothing. And by the way, it's all a money grab. Their consultants and this whole consulting class are making piles of money. They make money even in the losses. You think they care? No. You know what they do? They just rely on a shrinking amount of county committee members to keep them in power. Look at these two bonehead senators who got themselves embroiled in a land deal, made all kinds of money, and sparked a federal investigation. You think those two were worried about your rising costs, your taxes? No. It's Testa and Steinhardt, if you're wondering who I'm talking about. They were worried about their own incomes, not yours. And the Democrats, they've already stolen all the money. So now we need to build an opposition to take this state back in a meaningful way. And it starts with having a real conversation about what's going on in the world. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. If you think I'm being too harsh, let me know. 747, fast traffic, instant weather next.
New Jersey 101.5, $1,000 a day at work payday. $1,000 for a weekend getaway, new handbag, new phone, pay off some bills. What would you do with $1,000? Listen all day for the at work payday cash code. Then enter the cash code into the New Jersey 101.5 station app. It's that easy. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers. $1,000 a day at work payday.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
On New Jersey 101.5.
All right, I want to wrap this conversation up. We're talking about how Mikey Sherrill has stolen all the issues from the Republicans. Let's go to Brian in Parsippany. What's going on, Brian?
Bill, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Oh, first time calling, and I actually got through very easily. Incredible.
Great to have you on, Brian.
Great to be on. First off, I want to say I voted for you in the primary.
Thank you. And you appreciate that. Thank you.
Secondly, everything you say about Mikey Sherrill is correct. She stole the affordability crisis from Jack.
Yep.
Right. The utilities, the affordability, and now here she is trolling everybody, standing in front of a power plant in Salem.
Right. After 30 years of the Democrats attacking nuclear power as dangerous and attacking fossil fuels as dangerous, and now all of a sudden the Democrat socialist governor is standing in front of the nuclear power plant. And Brian, where are the Republicans? The Republicans, unfortunately, allowed a disaster to happen in Parsippany, your town, with our great friend Jamie Barbario getting no help from the county, no help from the state. They left. They hung them out to dry because they don't care about their own. They're all thinking about the next paycheck for their consultants. I'm so sick of it, Brian. I'm glad you called. This party is absolutely a shell of its former self. It's embarrassing. Every Republican should be embarrassed by what has happened to this opposition party. And you could probably name on one hand the decent Republicans still in the legislature. Jay Weber, Ora Dunn, Carmen Amato, Greg Meyer. I mean, there are some good ones out there. Eric Peterson, but Brian Rumpf. I mean, yes, there are some good ones. But
how the hell did she get almost 1.9 million votes?
Well, even if there was fraud, which we know there is because we've got 900,000 illegals in this state, it wasn't 15 points of fraud. A 15-point loss is because the Republicans are giving the people no reason to vote for them. That's the problem. The Democrats are setting the tone. Yeah. Well, look, you had a guy who was a never-Trumper pretending to be a Trump guy, got the endorsement, and how many Trump voters, we've gone through these numbers, how many Trump voters just stayed home? They're like, this guy's not for real, and we'll take our chances. Yeah. And, you know, they vote with their feet. They're like, I'll just leave the state instead. That's my mission, to get people thinking about staying, digging in, and fighting back. Brian, great to have you. Call back anytime. 7:58, Eric Scott with the news next.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
8:10 on New Jersey 101.5. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. Other side of traffic and weather, I want to ask you about, and Eric, I just want a quick take. I don't have a lot of time before break, but a quick take on this cop who is being charged with manslaughter after shooting the guy who's beating his wife with a bat. And I saw the video.
Yeah.
The guy won't put the bat down. No. It's a weapon. That cop could have been killed by that bat. That guy didn't have to run far, and you didn't know if he was hopped up on something that a first shot would have even stopped him. I mean, my police friends say if you're within 17 feet of somebody with a weapon, a knife or something like that, you're in danger. It's almost too late at 17 feet.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of law enforcement as well, and they're sharing the same concerns, is that, you are looking at a video and you are dissecting milliseconds over a period of weeks and not taking into consideration the fact that a police officer is giving an individual a lawful order to disarm, is refusing to do so. And that officer had to make a judgment call about whether he was a threat either to himself, the officer, or to other individuals. And that decision was made. And unfortunately, it was a fatal result. The defense attorney for the sergeant in Woodbridge who was charged says, look, all of the evidence is going to come out at trial. We expected that we were going to be charged. We are going to prove that this officer did the right thing and is innocent.
Yeah, well, the only thing I would say is not unfortunate. I think one more scumbag put down that nobody has to deal with again. Imagine some guy going after his wife with a bat. Are you kidding me? So we ought to put more guys like that down. Let me tell you, I'm sick and tired of it. It's time to bring back the death penalty, and it's time to have an attorney general that stops charging cops for doing their job. Good on this Woodbridge cop. You took out a real dirtbag, and it's about time. We need more of that. 8:12, fast traffic, instant weather next.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
Thank you, guys.
That 9-6 is important.
You know what it was, Jill? It's like the mice were running hard on the wheel, and we were waiting for the little printout. It's like the computer's like the size of a room. You've seen these. It was like from they took the computer from the show... was it War Games?
I don't know. You guys look like the scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off when the principal was talking to the mom and the assistant was like trying to scramble for papers.
Yes.
Remember? She's like he's been absent 9 times.
Yeah, like I'm here.
And he's been absent 9 times.
And there's paper everywhere, but not one to use.
Everybody was scrambling. Well, that code, the numbers in that code mean something because I just thought about you and food. When I heard
396.
396.
Because you thought about my 96 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So here, all right, let me explain. You are, as a normal person, I mean, let's qualify that, a semi-normal person.
Okay, but
right?
96
you
hours.
You deal in days.
That's like calling your kid, 26 months old. Like, get over it. Your kid's two.
Interesting. That's what you thought? No, I went the other way. Let me just explain. I'm going to do a little math here. We're going to do some mathing.
Because Bill is saying he's not going to be able to eat for 96.
Not be able to eat. I'm on a 96-hour schedule now.
96-hour schedule.
All right, because, the eating, I haven't figured out yet. So I'm making this up as I go. Here's the reason I go in hours. Because everybody I live my life in segments, not days. See, the rest of you have days. Like, it's Monday, it's Tuesday. What's today, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
What we're in right now is segment two. So there's...
Is this Zulu time?
Yeah,
or?
Well, it's using Eastern time. I'm sorry. Oh, I screwed up. No, sorry. Segment one. Because I go in 6-hour segments. So my day starts at 4 a.m. Even though I get up at like 3:30, The official start of my day is 4 a.m.
Oh, I remember this.
Right.
Whole
and I go to 10 a.m.
theory, yes.
Right. So 6 hours, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. And that's my radio segment.
So why is 4 days not 4 days?
Because it's 16 segments.
All right. Why is 4 days
so
not 16
I
segments?
Have to deal with 16 segments, which is 96 hours. So the thing is, I don't like to eat anything 12 hours before a TV broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can't look bloated. You can't. Like, what if I have a little stomach issue? I don't know. Things can happen. So I go 12 hours. Here's the problem. I'm in for Finnerty tonight on Newsmax. So I got to host at 8 o'clock, which means I am supposed to not be eating now. Here's the problem with that.
Yeah.
I will not get home until 11 o'clock at night. And then I have to do the whole thing all over again. So it's not like I can eat at 11 o'clock. So I'm thinking I'm going to start segment two, which is 10 to 4, with a small protein meal. And then I should be okay all the way through tonight. Because what? So once I get, like my last segment of the day is 10 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Yeah.
That's my sleep segment.
Man, you must be.
But the problem is I have to host in the morning. I'm hosting Wake Up America Weekend.
Yeah.
So I have to get up at 2 a.m. on Saturday.
But your brain,
so this is a problem.
Your brain is going to get to the point where it's like not going to be able to. You're going to be like a Barry Darby-bertation. Like you're going to have trouble talking.
Barry Darrison.
Yes, remember? I think you're going to have some trouble. With,
wait,
like,
we're laughing.
Cognitive.
Didn't that woman have a stroke or
she
something?
Had a migraine, yes.
That's what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, but you are going to have a cognitive challenge, my friend.
It's possible I'm already having one because, Kathy, I ended the last segment. For some reason, this is what I sounded like.
Oh.
Oh, hey, everybody, it's me, Mr. Bill, and I'm on the way to the studio to take my new show, Phono, Mr. Bill Presents. Hey!
Yeah, your voice is
coming this fall on the Fox Family.
I don't know what happened.
You started
that. Oh, what's happening? What's happening? Oh!
So I think he crashes his car there. So anyway, I don't know what happened, but that definitely happened. And anyway, have I successfully clarified the 96 hours, 16 segments, or you're not?
It's 4 days for us normal.
It's
4 days
for normal.
It's 4 days.
All right. If I said days, then I'm working every day. That's the problem. This way I have segments off. 8:28, Eric Scott with the news next. Eight thirty-eight. I just went back in time. Sorry about that, guys. I know we're steamrolling to 10 o'clock. It is actually 8:38 on New Jersey 101.5, and I am Bill Spadia. Eric, the your comment on the Strait of Hormuz. This is considered international waters. So the idea of any country putting a toll on it is somewhat frowned upon, and you could conceivably have a war started just because of that. What I want to understand is, from what you're hearing, this supposedly came out after the peace deal was struck. The 8 o'clock deadline was set for what was bridge and power plant day?
Tuesday.
All right. I guess it's like bridge and power plant week then. We're kind of celebrating it for the whole week.
Well, I mean, we're...
Or we've... Has the holiday been canceled because of the ceasefire that we're
I would
not
say
really
it's on hold at this point because we don't know if there really is a
well,
ceasefire.
People are still shooting. So
yes.
The fire has not ceased.
Correct.
And what we understand is that... So the Iranians are saying, you're going to come through the strait. We got a lot of bombs, a lot of mines. You got to pay a vig. I think it was something like $2 million a ship. That's about how it worked out, too. The White House press secretary, said they did not do this as a reaction to the Israelis bombing Lebanon. Now, to put this in context, the Israelis are going after Hezbollah. These are bad, bad people. I mean, the Israelis are going after hardened proxy terrorist groups supported by the Iranian regime. So they're killing the bad guys. That's a good thing. But it happened after President Trump announced we were going to have a ceasefire.
Well, Israel said right off the bat,
we're not doing
ceasefires between the U.S. and Israel. Doesn't involve us.
The U.S. and Iran.
Yeah, U.S. and Iran.
Doesn't
involve,
yeah. So a lot of people think, well, wait a minute, we can't have a ceasefire if our allies are still fighting. Because at the outset of this, it was dubbed an American Israeli offensive against Iran.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of odd to have half of that coalition say, well, we're in a ceasefire, but our buddies are going to keep shooting you if we are going to be sincere about having a ceasefire.
Well, you know, and then the Israel would argue, we're not firing on Iran, we're firing on Hezbollah, and we're attacking Lebanon.
Right.
The Iranians so kind of view it as the same.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to at any point here make it sound like I'm making Iran the moral equivalent of Israel. They are not. They are the bad guys. There is no doubt about it. However, what I'm questioning is that disjointed press conference, and I'll qualify because I agree with what you said earlier in the show, that this is not the fault of Caroline Leavitt from everything we know. This is someone who's clearly not getting support or not getting information because she contradicted herself within the same sentences.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that has ever been in a position like that, and they're probably, in terms of being a spokesperson, there isn't any more high-pressure, high-stress job than being the White House spokesperson.
Right.
That being said, anybody who's ever worked in PR and media know, essentially, garbage in, garbage out. If you're not being provided with accurate information, if you're not being provided with the backbone of a strong message, if you're not being provided with clarity on the issue that you are being sent out to speak about, that's what happens.
Yeah, and but I mean, she said, so the first part, I was listening originally to Levon, his report in First News. This is what got me started on this a few hours ago. She comes out and says, you know, we have a ceasefire, and it's not true that the straits have been closed because Israel is still shooting at Lebanon. And then she said, there's more traffic coming through the strait now than we had before. But we demand that the strait be opened. So to the average person listening to that, you're like, wait a minute. They closed it, but not because of Israel. But ships are passing through, but we demand they reopen it. So that messaging is so confusing. So the question I have as a guy that has to fill his tank up today, is it open or closed for business? I know there are ships going through, but they could be Iranian warships, which on the other side raises a question. I thought a week ago, President Trump said we had completely decimated their Navy and Air Force.
Yeah, and that they have no more ships and no more submarines.
He said that.
I mean,
who's patrolling the straits?
Possibly even Oman. Because it's Iran and Oman that want to charge that VIG for ships to go through. Yes, the strait was never completely closed. There were nations that were friendly to Iran that were still able to send their ships through.
Right.
It was just not the U.S., Israel, most European countries, etc., that were able to get their ships through. So
again, misleading.
Karen Leavitt is right. It is more opener now.
But not necessarily for us.
Right.
It's not going to impact our gas prices.
Yeah, and that was intentional. You know,
There's no question.
I don't know. I mean, unless you are on a ship in the water that can observe the strait, how would you know?
So we can get pictures from the dark side of the moon, but we can't know if one of the most vital waterways on the globe is actually open for business. Unreal. 844. Hey, on the other side, Bob's going to come back with some traffic. He's got a big update for you, but quick, we're going to break for a couple of spots, and then we'll have Bob, Jill, and our weather. 844.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
852 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Let's just check back in with Bob Williams. So, Bob, you got a medevac helicopter getting people out from this accident. What do you know?
Yeah, it's Interstate 80 both ways, Bill. All lanes are closed by exit 34, right by Route 15 before the Rockaway Mall. Accident with injuries, and the helicopter's landing on the highway. I'm watching it on the cameras. Traffic is at a dead standstill. You're closed off completely. Eastbound side, dead standstill from exit 30, and westbound from at least exit 37. If you're stuck there, you want to get off at the Rockaway Mall westbound by exit 35 at Mount Hope Road, and eastbound, definitely get off the highway by exit 28 and get over to Route 47. 86 and Route 10. It was an accident on the westbound side of 80 on the ramp to northbound 15. As we've been mentioning, there was a construction project there this morning, and you just got to presume that somebody was just, you know, just going too fast through the construction work and caused this crash. About 4 to 5 cars. Not good at all. I'm looking at the social media, the Route 80 rant page, and they're very helpful. It's not good at all there. Again, 80 closed both ways by Route 15.
Wow. I mean, think about what that's going to do on 15, on 10. I mean, you're late for that 9 o'clock meeting. You better call ahead. You're not getting there till 10 o'clock. I used to come up 287 to Route 10 when I worked for Jim Weicker for all those years. And when I lived in, after I moved to Princeton, the other time I would come, sometimes I would take 80, you know, come up through Hackettstown, get on 80. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go through old Route 24 and I'd work my way down to 78. But, Bob, I think this is the third time this week that we've had some major incident.
Right? On
yesterday
three of
was
our major 287, highways.
Right?
Yeah. The other day was 78, and now it's
287,
80.
78, and now 80. The three major arteries in North Jersey, north of 195, all have had debilitating crashes that close. I don't know. This is worthy of a conversation at some point. What is this? Is it the roadway infrastructure? Is it drivers who are not paying attention? It's maddening to me.
I think it's drivers, and I think any decent driver who follows the rules would agree. And I'm also getting more detail that there were two more crashes in this delay in the backup. People just going too fast, not knowing that the road is closed, and they're just slamming into other people. So it looks like there's a total of three accidents there on westbound 80 up by 15. Unbelievable.
Well, keep us posted, Bob, and I'll check in with you later. I'm live tonight at 8 o'clock on Newsmax, and I'm going to leave my house at 3, I think.
Yeah, that's a smart thing, Bill.
I mean, it's crazy to think that, but I've got a budget. I've got to be there by 6. So my thought is, I need to budget 3 hours. That's nuts.
No, you'll definitely be there by 6. You know.
Yeah. Well, I'll check in with you because and for everybody out there, just check in during the day. Listen to the traffic updates because your map program on your phone is not necessarily going to catch up, which is probably a lot of the problem. People are flying down the highway not knowing the traffic is dead stop because it takes time for the apps to catch up.
Yeah, and you know, these medevac helicopters, they're only there for about 10 or 15 minutes, but I'm looking at the camera live. Everything is still stopped both ways on 80 by Route 15.
We don't know if there was a fatality yet.
No.
We hope not.
You know, they're trying to get the person to the hospital as soon as possible.
Right. Thank you, Bob. We'll check in a little bit. Thanks. 8:55. Hey, on the other side, I do want to talk a little bit about time management because I've got a 96-hour, 16-segment run started this morning. Through Sunday. And I think time management is something that people really don't do well. And I'd like to know, what's your trick to stay on time? Or are you just always late to everything? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 8:55 is the time. Jen Ursillo with your news next.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about, New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
9:09 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. All right, ladies, good news. The dried cured meat is on the way. I bought my Instagram buy.
Is it wrapped in the pants you bought?
Oh, the pants are a bit of a sore subject. I don't know what to do with them. I don't think I can wear them. I don't think they are. Let's just say they're less than flattering.
You're going to look like dried cured meat.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. Real quick, do you all have Uber? Jill tells me. Mm-hmm. And I want to trust but verify that she's got a 5 with Uber. I have been stuck at 4.92 for about,
forever,
6 years now.
Forever. Oh, my gosh.
And I complain about it enough that you'd think my rating would go up. I tip. I even tipped a guy. Mm. Let me just say this. I tipped a guy a week after because I didn't check the app. When I opened the app, it said, hey, you want to leave a tip for, you know, Marrakesh or whatever the hell his name was. And I'm like, all right. 15%. It was $9. So now I get a $9 charge on my credit card, and still I'm at a 4.92.
Because you waited a week to tip.
Well, it didn't prompt me that minute. Wait, Jill, can I see this?
I really think that's what
and
it
I'm
is.
Moving, I'm moving. Oh, I'm walking with the microphone.
Yeah, yeah, I see
Jill
that.
Is at 5.0.
What's a blue check? I'm verified.
Yeah, you're verified. Look verified. At her bragging over here. How do you what have a five? How many? Do you not use it? This is what I'm thinking.
I use it.
Do you, Jen? What's your rating?
I don't use it that often, so I don't think I have one.
You have to have a rating.
Well, I think I deleted the app. I think there's I deleted it. I don't use it that much.
That activity. Recent.
From where? From like 1992? What, no, are you, what is this?
The last was Philly.
I'm kidding. I'm fully aware that Uber was not around in 1992.
I'm wondering if that's what it is, though, that you're tipping a week. So at that moment when they have
I'll
to
bet
rate
Jill's
you.
Not even tipping. I never tipped the first time when I first had. Oh, maybe that's why.
When it first,
I didn't tip for the first few years.
You weren't supposed to then. The tip was built in. I never tipped either, and I had a five. I had a five.
I used to give 5 stars though to almost every ride.
But they're not giving you 5 stars as the customer.
Apparently not. Because I'm a great customer. I'm just saying. I'm a great customer. I keep to myself. I don't. I'm not. I answer questions if asked.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I'm not like jabbing away. I'm not on the phone mainly because of recording it all. So I'm finding Uber less convenient because everything is recorded. So I worry about the conversations.
Yeah, sometimes I don't use it that much.
Sometimes I get out of an Uber and I'm like, and David's like, stop. Yeah. I'm like, take care. I hope everything goes well with the operation with your cousin. And
you know what? God.
Here is my please call me anytime.
If you need me,
anytime.
Can I contribute to your GoFundMe?
Yeah,
I do believe that.
I'm doing
you
that like
are
this.
Friends with the Uber. Yeah. All right, now we know why Jill has a five. People, literally, Uber drivers around the state are competing for Jill Myra.
That's like when I
like 3 cars show up at once.
Right.
I have plans to visit Morocco. I've got 3 Uber drivers that have family there. That's right.
They're giving you tips, local place to go to.
Yeah, they're
meanwhile,
all ready to meet me there.
They're getting together going, oh, man, you got Spadia. Yeah, you won't get tipped for a week.
That's,
I'm telling you, that's what's happening.
I think you may be right.
I
would think 4.92 is a pretty good score, but Jody's score is higher than mine.
Does she tip right away?
Probably.
That's why.
Where do they come up with the number 4.92?
This is the average because I got all 5s except one jerk gave me a 1. That's what I think happened.
What happened? But I think, oh, that's a story.
But it's not like I'm a, you know, 20-something getting in the car 1 o'clock in the morning drunk trying to get home. I'm going to a business meeting or like I'm using it during the day.
Yeah.
Kathy, do you have Uber?
I don't, but what did you do to get a 1?
Exactly. What did you? That's a story.
I don't
story.
Know. I can't. You can't go back through. Somebody must have dinged me, and here it is, and I can't overcome. But how could the average stay the same?
Dinged me? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Like ding? Like you get somebody a ding? Like a dent in your car? Like a ding? What do you mean? What does that mean? It's like a negative thing. Someone dings you.
Dinged you.
Am I the only one that
Uber?
Says that?
We've never been dinged.
Somebody dinged me.
Okay.
Is that not a thing? Did I make that up?
Not in our lives.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
it's a negative thing. If somebody like, the guy dinged me with a 1, jerk.
But he would have written why, I think.
I don't think they have to. I don't write why.
They have to, but I would think that I'm giving this dude a 1 and I'm going to tell you why.
Anyway,
even have an Uber driver on my in my videos here.
When
we
really?
Were in Nashville, he was adorable. He was Indian and we were... I was teaching him expressions, so...
Well, yeah. What do you have him saying?
He was like saying, like, that's lit and dead ass and...
Unbelievable. And I'm the problem. This is... So that I you know what? Plot thinner. Now I know why you have a 5. They all love you. They're like, oh, I was in her video. She's giving money to my sick kid. She's going to pay for my aunt's operation.
I had him do a Spadia line. You know how you say, I bleep you not? You know, you'll say that to me?
Yeah. Yes.
So I had to say that.
I do say that. I didn't think about it for a minute, but I do say that.
I had him say your name. I don't know if
really?
It's you or my friend Tonya.
Jill, I think you've lost it. I really do.
All right. So
I'm find that video now.
Am I the only, if you drive Uber, how do I get my score up? Because I'm not happy about it. And I now have score envy that Jill Myra has a 5.0. Like, look, I like Jill. She's nice. We're friends. But a 5.0, you're telling me there wasn't one guy that is like, Jill, I don't want to hear that story again. No, not one.
Jill,
they all give her a 5.
Jill's borderline crazy.
I got to tell you, kind of impressed.
She always has fresh, fun stories.
I am. You know what? I tip my hat. I'm watching my score. Watch, my score's going to go down. 9:15, fast traffic, instant weather next.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew. Down.
.922 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls 1-800-283-101.5. So, interesting listening to Governor Sherrill talk about nuclear power. Just the irony is not lost on me. First of all, I love the idea that we're going to get rid of some of these 1970s regulations that have no place today. But okay, Governor, now you're doing something about nuclear regulations that will not impact our rates for 10 years. And even if you build the micro plant and it takes you 5 years, there's never a project like that that goes on time under budget. So let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. A mini plant, it'll take about 5 years to get online. We do have site approvals from the federal government, so that's good news. But she'll be either out of office or starting her second term by the time any of these projects could actually come to fruition to lower our energy costs. So now, Governor, instead of taking the headline, and this is what our, and by the way, Republicans, this advice is free. Get out there and start talking about it. What you ought to do is hammer her on the optics of trying to pretend to reverse decades of Democratic assaults on nuclear power, overregulation, keeping them from expanding, spiking our energy costs by reducing the amount of energy that we create in New Jersey. And I'll remind you, at the end of Governor Chris Christie's two terms in office, we had an energy surplus in New Jersey. We were making more energy than we were using. Think about that for a minute. The good old days, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we had something. But here we are with the governor taking the energy issue again away from Republicans, because Republicans, including the now three-time loser, defended alternative energy. Now, I don't know, maybe there was a financial connection, you know, somebody with a law firm. I mean, he was all owned by the law lobbying firms. I mean, I've talked about Princeton Public Affairs, who play both sides of the aisle. These guys, it's all about money for them. They don't care. They don't care about your costs. So they were representing wind power. And then we heard the Republican nominee talking about solar power instead of saying, hey, guys, we've got nuclear and natural gas, and that's where 100% of our focus needs to be from a policy standpoint. We should end the solar subsidies. We should end any subsidies for giant corporations on wind. We should focus on natural gas and nuclear. But nuclear is a long-term project. Had we started on the nuclear projects when we should have been, we would already have expanded nuclear capacity today. I was talking about this 10 years ago, 10 years ago, more. Now, what, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, standing at the PSE&G nuclear plant, doing a walkthrough for my show on Chasing, saying, guys, we've got site approvals, get going, build a new plant, invest in this. I was saying that 11 years ago, those new plants would be online right now had the Republicans taken up this cause. They could have. But they didn't. Why? Because everybody was angling, hoping that Chris Christie would get elected president and they would all have jobs in Washington. That's the problem. It's all about them. And Republicans and Democrats are the same when it comes to the ego, ambition, and moral bankruptcy of these leaders who rely on lobbyists and special interests. So Mikey Sherrill now takes an issue that is clearly 100% the Democrats' fault for pushing it, and I'll give 100% of the fault on the other side to Republicans because they didn't fight it. But here we are. Democrats go on this weird move on global warming to get us to get rid of our paper, our plastic bags and our straws and invest in solar and wind and all this stuff, renewables, all horrible for the environment. And they're the ones that caused the problem. And now she gets to stand up in front of the nuclear power plant and talk about lowering energy costs by getting rid of old regulations. You want to get rid of regulations, Governor? Focus on the corruption and incompetence at the Department of Banking and Insurance and get my insurance costs under control. You want to talk about helping people, the average people? Let's get the gas tax suspended while we're at war. You want to talk about helping average people? How about the state of New Jersey teams up with all of those towns suing to get rid of the Mount Laurel decisions and we stop enforcing it? How about that? How about we sue some of these greedy developers and stop allowing them to ruin our suburban communities? Oh, you want to help New Jersey taxpayers and ratepayers? How about we end the sanctuary for criminal aliens and stop paying for their education, their housing, their medical, and their legal? How about that? I've just given you a half a dozen things you could start on today. But no, what Cheryl's going to do is pretend that the Democratic Party is not the responsible party for ruining nuclear power and spiking our energy costs. Now, all of a sudden, they're pro-nuclear and we're stuck with a $900 bill each month? Come on. Come on. So, again, challenge to the Republicans. Get out there and start advocating for real people who are struggling and suffering on energy prices, cost of living, food, housing, gas, all of this. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 928 is the time. Jen Ercillo, news next. 9:37 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Kay in Basking Ridge on the app chat. Thank you. Kay is suggesting a Jill and Jen podcast. You know, I think that's a pretty good idea.
That could be dangerous.
I could be a regular guest, maybe, unless I'm not invited. I don't know.
I like her.
What do you think? Yeah.
He would hijack our podcast.
Would it be Jen and Jill or Jill and Jen?
Two J's.
Yeah.
Two J's podcast.
Double yeah. J. We'll have to
double
come up
J, Double J's pretty good.
J squared. Ooh, J squared.
We could drink Java.
Look at you chiming like in on the title.
Yeah. Don't I get a vote? Wait, I don't get a vote?
You'd call it cacao.
Cacao. Well, this could be your theme song. I'll wait. I know we're playing it.
Sponsored by.
I think we could do it. I mean, that's kind of the tone.
Hey, it's Jen Ercillo and Jill Myra.
I like this idea.
TBH, to be honest.
Yeah.
If you ever heard some of our discussions back in our newsroom area,
I said, that would
all right, so podcast. Here's the thing. So I'm sure
keep it rolling.
I'm sure Jess is listening.
Hit play or so, hit record. And,
so Jess, let's do this. I think we can monetize it. I think we get a sponsor right away. I like this idea. Would you guys mind staying late?
I'm here anyway. So
you sure?
I'll do it.
That's right.
Maybe you'll just take a break at like 7 o'clock and just record it then. 7 to 8. What do you think of that? Anyway, I wanted to share that with you because I thought that was a good idea.
Okay.
And then Susan wants to pile on. I have a 5.0 too.
Wow.
Susan in Mullica Hill is a 5.0.
Good girl.
I love
I'm telling you it's the too. Tipping. It's the tipping problem.
Look at this. Dan in Allentown. First of all, a little compliment, but some reality.
Uh-huh.
Bill, you're a popular guy. Maybe he recognized you and dinged you because he didn't like your politics. That could be wrong.
Mm.
But a 4.92 is not too bad.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know if that's it. I mean, this one, Dixie Donnie. I've used Uber 4 times, twice last April. All right, Dixie Donnie. We got a whole litany of where you've gone in Uber.
She's
Charlottesville, Tampa. I got her whole history. Uh-oh.
A Yelp review.
She said her rating is 4.67.
Wow. Oh, lower than yours.
Six, seven. I feel much better. So I'm not the only one. I should do a contest. Yeah, but now that I know fives exist, I feel like everybody's got a five but me.
Well, no, she doesn't.
Five envy. Yeah, but 4.67, she pissed somebody off. That was...
I bet you...
That tells me...
Now, don't count yourself out of the running. I'm sure you pissed somebody off.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, Dixie Donnie, I'm not saying that... Well, she's some brick. So this could be one of your friends. You never
I
know.
I may know her, yeah.
You may know Dixie Donnie.
You're jealous because you strive for a 6'7". I bet you
if I had gotten a 6'7", yeah. I could have done that for days. So anyway, Tony from Brick.
I know Tony.
I almost don't want to read this one.
I think I know Tony, but go ahead.
Do you guys have access to the app chat?
No, I don't have it up right now, but all go ahead.
Bill. If you use that sexy voice like in that commercial, you'd be at a 5.
I think that would actually bring you down.
Oh, no. I read it wrong.
Oh.
He said, Bill, if you use that sexy voice like the commercial, could be why you're not at a 5. Oh, that made more sense.
That tracks.
Tony,
All right, now, talk to the Uber driver. Were talking to the Uber driver.
Well, here's a problem. I upset an Uber driver earlier. Ryan, the Uber driver, is mad at me because he's offended that I wouldn't let him finish his statement earlier. And it was a combination of out of time and a combination that, and Ryan, no personal offense to this, but he was lumping in Israel and Jews with the politics. And I'm like, so I feel like when people say things like that, you have to address it right away.
Sure.
So for those of you that are mad that I was, we were up against the clock. So in the last minute, I had two choices. Either let this stuff run amok, which comes out very anti-Semitic, or address it and deal with it, that there are two different things. There are Jewish people who practice their faith, and then there are Israeli politicians, which you have every right to criticize.
But sometimes our callers are like the legislature. They have a good bill, but then there's stuff connected to it, and they don't tell our screeners.
You don't hear it all.
That they're
right.
Attach that when they get on the air.
And I'm not even saying Ryan was being anti-Semitic. I think the way he was making his point, it's if you only hear that little piece, you're like, whoa, what did he just say?
Right, that wasn't the original purpose of his call.
Exactly. And that happens all the time. You say one thing to Ryan or to Thomas, and then when you get on the air, it goes completely off the rails.
Yeah, who's Ryan?
The problem is... Kyle, Ryan,
who's Ryan over here?
You know, I'm one segment in and I'm already listening. I'm only in segment one of 16.
Jill, that's the name of our podcast, by the way, Off the Rails.
Off the Rails with Jill and Jen.
Yeah.
You know, that could be it.
Yeah.
You know what I hear? I hear Crazy Train.
With special guest star.
Whatever your special guest. Just to bring the crazy up a notch.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, but he would be the special guest every 5 minutes.
Welcome to Off the Rails.
You know what I like most about
this? I'm getting into this now.
This is a thing now. And I appreciate how we didn't talk over each other on that. We let the music play. Like, I just appreciate that.
I feel zen.
Yeah, don't you feel like... So I like this idea. I think we need to launch it. So Jess and Sam, if you guys can get your heads together, we need a studio. I think we could use the news booth behind me, which I used yesterday.
You did. You hijacked my studio. Hey, by the way. It was great.
Guess what?
What?
I ran the board.
He did.
I pushed all the buttons.
I
big
know.
Boy,
yeah?
Big boy.
How about that?
Yay.
Thomas was nervous, but he said you pulled it off.
Here's what I learned from yesterday. Running the board, meaning pushing the buttons and understanding how to record... Easy. Like, literally anybody could do it.
Kathy?
Wait for it.
Okay, we are.
Running the board when I can't keep a clock? Impossible.
That's traffic control.
Impossible.
That's
so I had a new
level.
Appreciation for Kathy yesterday because I ran it, like, static. Like, I was in control. I'm like,
you
I'll turn the mic on when I want.
I had three buttons.
Right. So I'm like... Imagine if I ran on time and followed the traffic clock.
Yeah, right.
How easy that job could be.
She is JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark. All
I think she deserves a. I think she deserves a. I think that was well said, Kathy. I think you deserve a raise because I saw it firsthand. I'm like, oh, the button pushing is easy. It's the guy behind the mic that's the problem. So look, I am nothing if I'm not self-aware.
I like Jill's analogy. What did you say? JFK?
LaGuardia and Newark.
And Newark. Yeah. Yeah. She's air traffic control.
That tracks. Yeah. That tracks.
All together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's hard. All right, look. I like this idea. So, Sam, Jess, please, we need a studio. We need a time slot, and we're going to need, the ladies should make a little money on this. So I need a sponsor. If you are a small business out there and you would like to sponsor Off the Rails with Jen and Jill, give me a call, 1-800-283-101.5, because I think this is a great idea. I am also always looking for more platforms to speak, so I am fully expecting that I'll be a regular guest. So it's partly in self-interest, and anyway, join me on this. I think it's a really good idea because you can get it wherever podcast you get your podcasts, and we've got this huge platform on the website. So if you're a small business, I would say this could be one of the best things that you could sponsor. Anyway, that's my thought. Thank you for everybody that participated and mocked me for my my voice on the ads. I do appreciate that. Look at this. Brian in Hillsborough, another one. 12 years using Uber, still has a perfect 5.0 rating. Oh, Brian, you tip cash. There you go. Mystery solved. 9:46. I'll have a wrap-up on the other side of traffic and weather next.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
Okay, couple things to wrap up. This police officer is charged with manslaughter. This is a disgusting turn of events, and it is because we still have an attorney general who hates cops. And, you know, our attorney general, Jenny from the block, is proving that the leftist cult would much rather go after police officers than criminals. We have, Arena's killer. They literally are not even going to charge this guy. He's not competent to stand trial. This is horrible. We had that Marine in New York who was arrested and nearly lost his freedom for taking down a scumbag on the subway. He was hurting innocent people. We better get tough on crime. This cop shot down a dirtbag who was beating his wife with a bat. Come on. Come on. And when a cop tells you to put the weapon down multiple times, the police officer wants to go home to his family too. I stand with Blue, and I am absolutely offended that we still, now, 9 years in, have an attorney general that hates cops. It is about time that the PBA and the FOP and the state police unions wake up. Wake up, guys, and stop supporting these Democrats who come after you all the time. State Trooper Union cuts deals with these guys, and I get it. You want to fight for your contract. I get it that Phil Murphy separated the pension. I get it. You got a lot of what you wanted. I get it. But at the end of the day, police officers and troopers deserve leadership in their unions that will stand up and fight like hell for them and recognize that we have a governor and an attorney general that are actively working against law enforcement. Enough. And by the way, it is time to bring back the death penalty in New Jersey, not just for cop killers. I think child rapists should get the death penalty. Murderers, it's enough. We are soft on crime. And I'll say one last thing on another issue that we talked about. The fact that Mikey Sherrill got a free pass to stand in front of a nuclear power plant and pretend that the Democrats haven't destroyed our real energy production over the past 10 years is ludicrous. The Republicans ought to call her out. Fix the Department of Banking and Insurance. Fix the Department of Transportation. Make sure that we are focused on natural gas, which is an immediate fix to lower our costs. Not the long term of nuclear, which is a good thing. But to actually get it done, she'll be out of office by the time anything happens. So this was all for show, and she's not being called out. It's time for Republicans in this state to wake up and start fighting for the middle and working class. All right, guys, have a great rest of your day. I'll see you tomorrow at 6.